Good morning. If you weren't in class, just heads up, I am not sick. I have allergies. And, of course, I know you're thinking, well, that's what everybody says. But it really, truly is allergies. I woke up this morning and apparently I have four air purifiers in my home. That's literally why I know it's allergies. But bear with me. There might be a couple of times where I'm not crying, unless you want to interpret it as crying. My eye keeps watering for me. I'm glad we sang that. I love that song. I haven't sung that in a long time. It's one of my favorite songs. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we will go to our lesson this morning. Father, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you so much for the optimism you see in us and your desire to save us, your desire to restore us to you, and the opportunity we have to sing to each other about heaven and to worship you and look forward to that great day. And we know that day may not be here yet, and we have work to do for you on this earth, but we ask that we never forget that we are only passing through this world, and that we are ultimately waiting to be reunited with you. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word. Help us to be those who put it into practice in our lives and share it with others. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We talked about wisdom in class, and I think wisdom is something that we all need in our life. It's something that we all need to weigh whether we are wise or not, and wise in the eyes of God, not just in the eyes of ourselves. But wisdom, I believe wisdom is lacking. There's a story in which two men got into a car accident in an intersection, so that as they both got out to check their vehicles, one was visibly shaken. So the other man, being a good friend, pulls a flask out of his jacket, and he says, "Here, you look a little shaken. Here, take a little bit of this." And he goes, "Well, thank you so much," and takes a swig and hands it back and says, "Here, you can have some too." He goes, "No, I'd rather wait till after the cops leave to take some." Now, which one was wise? And, but sometimes we make poor decisions, don't we? Sometimes we do it in the moment when we're not thinking. And sometimes we do it with clarity of thought because we haven't sought wisdom out. As they say today, the title today is a little bit clickbaity, the keys for a successful year. But I truly believe it's not just for a successful year, it's for a successful life. Because God has given us all of Scripture, but this morning we're going to specifically look in Proverbs. He's given us keys to walk with Him successfully, to have a life that is successful. And success looks different for each of us. And it looks different for God versus the eyes of the world. It doesn't mean we're going to be rich. It doesn't mean that we're going to have everything we want and always get our way. But it does mean we'll have success in the way God defines it. It means that we'll be righteous, that we will have a home in heaven with Him. It means that as we walk through this world, that we have what God defines as success. So as we roll into the new year, I wanted to spend a few moments looking at this year, being intentional about our planning for how we're going to be successful as the body of Christ, but also individually, as a collective unit who meets together, but also in our day-to-day out there world. I want to explore keys that aren't just wisdom gleaned from people like, dropped out of my mind, but people out there that are these leadership gurus and the self-help kind of individuals. I want to look at keys that are specifically given by God through Solomon and others. Keys that are found throughout His Word. Keys and rules that lead not just to a good year and good life, but wise choices in decision-making processes. We all have wisdom carried collectively from others, don't we? We've had parents or grandparents, friends, other family members, church members, co-workers, strangers maybe, who've told us things that we've filed away as wisdom. We've picked up wisdom from various sources. And some of this is very helpful wisdom. Some of this goes against the wisdom of God. When we talk about wisdom, one of the things we talked about in class, and really is our first point, is that when we talk about how to have a successful life, how to have a successful year, how to have a successful walk with God, we have to begin in the right place, don't we? We have to begin first and foremost with God. God is the starting point. He is the first person we consult for wisdom. He is the first place we turn when we're asking, how do I handle this? How do I live this life? It may not be something bad. How do I make this financial decision? Have you asked God? Because God has a lot to say about what wise choices look like. When we look at what does a successful year look like, we're at that point where my wife does some, I want to call it adjunct, but it's not adjunct. It's like she teaches a couple of classes at the gym every week. And as you can tell, I do not. But my wife teaches at the gym, and as you would imagine, she's in this era where she's like, yeah, classes are completely full for the month. Why? New year, new me, right? But the truth of the matter is, people are beginning with goals that they have set, but are they beginning with goals God has set for them? When you think of 2026, whether it's as a church, whether it's independently, whether it's for the company that you run or the company you work for, or whether it's for your children, whatever it might be, have we started with asking and talking to God about it? Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the ending point, not the middle point, but the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, if we're not seeking godly wisdom and godly instruction, not Josh says, but Scripture says, it's foolish. Because those who are wise, they begin with God. They begin with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, we talked about in class, can mean a lot of things, but it means ultimately submitting ourselves to God, whether it's because we're fearful of Him, as in like the He's able to punish us, or whether it's because we're in awe of Him, or whether it's because we respect Him. All of those are true. We submit to God, and that means we look here first. We consult with God's Word, and then I would argue we consult with God's Word, and then maybe consult with godly people after consulting God's Word. I think this is where most people get it wrong at the beginning of every year. They don't consult with God. They don't consult. Most organizations don't consult with God. You might be amazed how many churches start off. There's a lot of ideas flowing around with the leadership. And I'm not saying this is true here, but a lot of ideas flowing around. And they may have said their prayer to open the meeting, but are they consulting God about where they want to go as a congregation? We must begin with God. But we don't just begin with God, and this is very closely related. We have to value godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. We have to value the wisdom of God. And there is nothing wrong with asking others who are in the world for that wisdom. There are plenty of people. John Maxwell, that's who I was trying to think of earlier, the leadership guru. John Maxwell has a lot of really great insight into leadership. into organizational structures. There's a book called One Size Doesn't Fit All, and it's specific to churches, and it's how churches, it's the different lifetime spans of a growing church and how different churches in different areas need to, or different sizes, how they like move from one to the other, how they grow and all this other stuff. Great, really great information. But if it's not founded in God, it's wisdom from the world. So we begin with God and seek godly wisdom. We value godly wisdom. It doesn't mean we can't value these books and stuff because they're based out of God. If you don't know John Maxwell, he used to preach. If you don't know about him, that is. He used to preach. From the way it sounds, it was like 6 months and then he decided he wanted to do leadership. But he's very in tune with Scripture. I listen to his podcast. He talks a lot about God. But even then, you have to figure out, am I valuing his wisdom over God's wisdom, especially when it doesn't match? Or the book's wisdom over God's wisdom? Or my friend's wisdom over God's wisdom? Or my own wisdom over God's wisdom? Value godly wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 2, look there with me. In Proverbs chapter 2, I'm sorry if that's so small you can't see it. I tried to make it big enough, but I couldn't get it all to fit. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Did you notice all the... There's so much to notice in these few verses here. So much to notice. First and foremost, did you notice all the action that we take? Receive, treasure up, be attentive, inclining your heart, calling out, seeking it, searching for it. Then, what does he say? You will understand and find the knowledge of God. This year. And don't let it end in 2026. But I identify, are we actively seeking and searching and doing these things? Are we actively seeking out the wisdom of God? It's not just do we begin with God. It's not just do we value God. But it's are we actually seeking out God? Right? That is what it means to value godly wisdom. It's to seek it out. Remember the value in the New Testament. There's parables about value. And what each of those parables have in common is the searching out of the valuable thing. It's not passive. It's active, isn't it? How do we actively do that? I would argue it's valuing it is reading the Word of God. But there's other ways to do it too. By the way, we should start, in my opinion, with the Word of God. Because every other way I'm about to mention it has error involved in it. But I listen to podcasts quite a bit. And I learn a lot from them. I read a ton of books. There's other ways. I have a lot of conversations with people. There's a lot of ways to value godly wisdom because godly wisdom comes from all kinds of sources, but it's got to be backed by the Word of God. One thing that, by the way, I have here in my notes that I think is important to say, and maybe I'm preaching the choir this morning, which is fine. If I'm preaching to the choir, then, you know, I'm just reminding the choir to go preach it outside, right? But chances are we're going to hit something that we probably can work on independently. You're never too busy to open the Word of God.
Right.
To value the wisdom of God. To seek God's wisdom. Outside of someone's about to get hit by a car kind of scenario and you need to like throw them out of the way, you're never too busy to seek the wisdom of God for a decision. And by the way, that's not even a decision. Save the person. That's what God would say, right? The next one, I don't know about your lives and how you handle things. I do know this is the number one problem we face in marriages, and that we face, generally speaking, in our society. If I can get it to click. Uh-oh. I'm going to just kind of a PC. I'm going to turn it. Oh, there it is. Prioritize finances. I don't know if I did that or what, but prioritize your finances. What do I mean by that? Be wise with them. Prioritize God, but be wise with them. Finances, number one creator of marital conflict these days. Do you guys know that? Huge problem. Finances, number one creator of stress these days. These are not Josh's opinions. These are researched things. Finances, number one reason why people have problems is mismanagement of finances. Do you guys know most people who win the lottery go broke within a couple of years? Because money was never the problem. It was how they prioritized the money that they had. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce. Then barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. It's not saying you'll get rich. What's it saying? You'll have all that you need. If you ask God, how do I spend my money? How do I prioritize my budget? Is everyone familiar with who Dave Ramsey is? He did the Total Money Makeover book, and he actually now has the Ram. Well, now it's he's been on the radio for years, and now it's a podcast/radio. One of the things that he talks about is how he went from millions of dollars to bankrupt. And realized a lot of it had to do with risk and how he was using money. And whenever he was at the lowest low, one thing he talks about is he started reading scripture when he was at the lowest point in his life. And he realized, I've not been following God's prescription for handling money. Now, I'm not saying, he would say this, but I'm not saying you can't have credit cards and you got to follow him blindly. But he is onto something. God talks about our money. It's one of the most discussed things in Scripture. Wonder why that is. Because as people, we don't change much over the years, do we? What is it Solomon said? There is nothing new under the sun. Honor the Lord with your wealth. That's more than just giving on Sunday, isn't it? I know one thing my wife and I do, because we're budget people, we look at our budget and we talk about and strive to ask, is this how God would want us spending this budget? Is this how God wants us stewarding the money he has blessed us with? And it doesn't matter if you have a lot of money or a little bit of money. It's how you handle what God has blessed you with, isn't it? I do think there is to be something to be said about who we serve with that money. Look at that next verse there, the latter part of verse 7 in chapter 22. The borrower is slave to the lender. Now, I'm not saying don't ever borrow. I've got a mortgage on my home. Don't get me wrong. But there is slavery in that to some degree, isn't there? But you know people who over-leverage I know people who over, and they're not Dave Ramsey over leveraged, but I know people who are so over leveraged they can't even do anything for God financially. They can't even help others. And again, it's not that they're bad people, they just made poor money decisions. And now, who are they honoring with their money? It's the bank, not God. Which I guess technically is honoring God because you made a promise to that bank. But are we prioritizing finances in the right order? Are we seeking God? And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying debt is bad. All debt is bad. I'm getting at we need to be cautious about the debt so that we don't become so honoring of the debt that we leave God out of the picture. Does that make sense? By the way, one of the biggest... I don't think any of us in here are in college right now, but you know, one of the biggest areas people are coming from is universities, and they're in crushing debt. In crushing debt. And I know Dave Ramsey talks about this, but I mean, I hear it in the counseling office. Crushing. And we're the people of God. There's got to be a better way to live a life. Because some people struggle to understand, how can I serve God when some people are going and they've got like a marketing degree, but they've got $200,000 in student loan debt for something that's not going to make them enough money, especially with AI taking over these days. But does that make sense? Like, can we not only do this, but can we help others realize there's a better way, right? Finances is important. And I talk about finances not just because it's so heavily discussed in Scripture, and we're going to move on, but because it is one of the biggest problems to members of the family of God as well as non-members of God's family. It is, if you drill down hard enough in most people's problems, it's finances. Again, I'm not talking about health and right, which that might be related to health, but a lot of marital conflict, a lot of stress, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. But you know who can help them figure their way out of it besides us? God. I'm a big believer that God has a lot to say. Being teachable. Are we teachable? Don't answer me out loud, but really, truly look internal. Are you teachable, or do you already know everything there is to know? We've all met that person, haven't we? If you haven't, maybe it's you. Be teachable. I remember one time I had a moment. I would probably be lying if I said it's my only moment of not being teachable, but I had a moment where I asked my father-in-law one time a question, but I clearly was not being teachable because I love my father-in-law. I'm blessed to have a really great relationship with my in-laws and great in-laws. And I remember we were having a conversation, and I don't even know what I was saying, but he cuts me off, which he rarely does. He cut me off and he goes, "Wait, I just want clarity. Are you wanting me to tell you what you want to hear or what you need to hear?" Because I wasn't being teachable in that moment. I had pretended like I wanted to be teachable, like I wanted to hear. But Proverbs talks about we need to be teachable. We can always learn. It's not just the young people who know everything. Sometimes it's us wiser people. I'm not going to say older. That'll get me in trouble. We need to remain teachable. I have heard Christians say, "Well, I don't get anything out of those lessons. I already know all that information." Isn't that sad? I mean, I was a minister for over 15 years. I still learn stuff when I read. I know the original languages. I still learn stuff when I read. I've had so much education that I can quote, I joke about, a lot of useless information, but I still learn stuff. My dad, who is further along in this journey, tells me stuff he still learns. I have a good friend that used to preach in this area that is now retired and knows so much more than me. And he still calls me every week telling me something he never noticed before in Scripture. Be teachable. Not just from each other, but from the Word of God. Look at it from fresh eyes. You know what's really helpful is read something you've always read and said, how would a new Christian read this? How would a non-Christian read this? How would somebody, right, kind of put a different lens on when you're reading it? I mean, if you want to get real creative, how would a Calvinist read it? That was a joke. I mean, you could do that, but again, you can always find it and see something you never saw in this before. Proverbs 9, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Fools have everything figured out. Wise people welcome instruction and the increase in learning. Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof, I love this, he's stupid. I love it. You hate reproof, you're stupid. Why? Because we are called to be people who understand we don't have it all known. There's still more to learn. There's still more to refine in our life. There's still more to grow in. One of the things I'm doing with my employees is I told them this year we're talking about intentional growth. And so I have them all filling out a form. And I said, this is not evaluative, as well, meaning their job doesn't depend on it. But I said, part of my goal is to help you grow in your role here. So I want you to look inside yourself and tell me where to grow. You can grow. And it's been wonderful seeing some of that. Because we all have ways that we can grow. One way that probably some of us can grow, including myself, and we were talking about this earlier, Jerry, about, you know, two ears and one mouth, is controlling our tongue. Controlling our tongue. Proverbs 15 verses 1 and 2, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Proverbs 18, verse 6, I love this one. A fool's lips walk into a fight. One version says a fool's lips invites a... Oh, no, it's this latter part. And his mouth invites a beating. That's the one I like. That's the one I like. A fool's lips walks into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. You ever invited a beating by your mouth? You ever been in the situation where you're just, you don't know when to stop? I have those. Proverbs 17, 27 through 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Go to what we were talking about, Jerry. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. The tongue is the hardest to train. Choose your words wisely this year. Choose your words wisely, and you will be blessed, and you will bless others. Practice humility. Practice humility. Proverbs 16, 3 through 5, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Are we arrogant or are we humble? We need to practice humility. We are called people that are endeared by God chosen, but chosen not to say we have it all together, not to say we know every answer, but chosen to go and tell other people, as one person said, where we found our bread, right? To tell other people where they too can find wisdom. They too can find a life that is successful and spiritual and walks closely with God. These are great in theory. They're not always easy in practice, are they? The beauty is that we have the love of God, the sacrifice of Christ, and the grace that comes with that. These are not the only words of wisdom of how to have a great year and a great life working with Christ, but they are six of the rules that we see repeatedly from the book of Proverbs. And these are repeated throughout all of Scripture as well. They don't only help us navigate our life on earth, they help us navigate that spiritual life that we have, and they help us strive to be better witnesses of the gospel. If we want to have success in the way that God defines success, these are how we start. These are how we do it. We begin with God. We value that godly wisdom. We prioritize our finances the way God would like us to prioritize it, beyond just our Sunday giving. We're teachable, we're controlling of our tongue, and we're humble in our interactions and in our own estimations of ourselves. All of these point us to Christ, don't they? All of these are demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. And the beauty of Christ is Christ showed us that it's possible to walk with God. It's possible to have success in this world in doing the work of God if we begin with God and we follow the keys of Solomon. This morning, we offer the opportunity to seek the prayers and support of this congregation if you've struggled to follow God in the way God has asked you to follow, if you've struggled to seek His wisdom above all other. You're not alone. We all do that from time to time because we're not perfect. But if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't told God, you and you alone are who I want to follow and listen to, you are who I want to emulate, if you haven't said that, we're here for that as well. If you want to start your walk with God and be baptized so that not only do you receive forgiveness, but so that you can say, I follow wisdom. We offer that opportunity. Whatever your need is this morning, make the decision to make that change now and make it known. I said this, I think, last time. We can't help with what we don't know. So if you have something to make known, please let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.